Well, there in your announcements, you'll notice you've got a couple of handouts there. One of them I added this morning. I found as I was going over my notes again, I was looking and found a good definition that I really liked, talking about what we're speaking about today here in a minute. First, you know, we've been looking at the terminology of salvation, and we've looked at repentance and faith, and those are the first two terms that we've examined pretty thoroughly. We took several weeks on repentance and a couple of weeks on faith. And real quickly this morning, before we move on, I wanted to touch on a related word, and that's the word conversion. And although the word conversion and forms of it may be rare in the Bible, this idea is common enough. A person is converted when he turns from darkness to light, from Satan to God, from the dead idols to the living Christ. Well, it's closely related to repentance. And when really repentance and faith is what it takes to be converted. And so just think about it in that way. And I've given you scripture there. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm 51, verse 12 and 13, David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." And, Jesus said in Matthew 18:3, "He said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And of course, the preaching of Peter there in Acts 3:19, as they healed as he healed the lame man there at the gate of the temple. He was preaching to a group right after that that kind of was interested in seeing what happened to this fellow, how he was before lame and now he's walking, and it drew a crowd. He's preaching, Peter is, and in Acts 3:19 he said, tells them, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Acts 15:3, being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And then James 5:20, "Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." This morning we want to take a look at another term related to salvation. And each of these, don't you realize that this is what happened when you got saved? These things happened. You may not have realize what regeneration it was at the time of your salvation, or even what being born again meant. But when you repented of your sin and trusted Christ as your Savior, you were born again. You were regenerated by the Holy Spirit and placed into the family, into God's family. We want to take a look at this terminology this morning, regeneration or being born again. We know that in John 3:3, that when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and approached him, he said, Jesus told him, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And in Titus 3:5, we find the word regeneration, and that is, getting the right place here. I was in the right place. It's not on the top of my page like it normally is. It says Philemon, but I'm in Titus here, and I'm in the right place. But Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Now, these both speak of the fact that the sinner has been made alive in his spirit, that had previously been dead in trespasses and sins. And from the time of your physical birth, that's the condition that you were in until you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you repented of your sin, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did there on the cross of Calvary, that transformation took place in your life whereby you were given something that you did not have before, and that's the matter of spiritual life. Spiritual life. We were alive, but we were dead while being alive. We were dead spiritually. And let's take a look here at the definition of regeneration. And that's what the extra handout there, the page by itself, is a definition I got from the AMG Concise Bible Dictionary. I really like it, what it says here. Let's take a look at it. It says, man being a sinner is spiritually dead and unable to give himself spiritual life. He's cut off from God with no hope of salvation through anything he might plan or do. God, however, can save man from this hopeless condition by forgiving his sins, giving him new life, and restoring him to a right relationship with himself. And this experience is called the new birth or regeneration. And understand it's entirely the work of the Spirit of God within a person. And it takes place when the person humbly submits himself to Jesus Christ, trusts him for forgiveness, salvation, and life. And to be regenerated means, in other words, to be born anew, to be spiritually recreated. And, you know, this is not something a man can do. It's entirely the work of the merciful and sovereign God. And these verses they put here, we're going to hit a lot of these. And I had them already in my outline before I found this definition this morning. But it says, without it, the sinner remains in his hopeless state there and is incapable of experiencing spiritual life. And that reference, John 3, goes to Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. And through it, a person becomes a child of God and enters the kingdom of God. And I want you to turn to John chapter number 1. That's where we're going to be, first of all. John chapter number 1. And we're going to see this. Where we become a child of God, and the regenerated person is a new person. He has new life inwardly. It's characterized by a renewed mind that governs all his thinking and attitudes. And he also has a new life outwardly, characterized by loving behavior towards others, hatred of sin, and victory over the world's temptations. And all this stuff I already had incorporated into my outline before I found this as I was going over my notes this morning. And I was looking up for a good definition of regeneration. And I found this some of the books that I have there on my computer. But the definition of regeneration here, regeneration is a spiritual change that's wrought in man by the Holy Spirit, by which he becomes possessor of new life, and that's spiritual life. Now we know when we're born the first time, we were born with physical life. But because of what happened there in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, they partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that God, the Lord told them, don't eat of that. When the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. And well, they died spiritually that day. When they partook of that forbidden fruit, the Hebrew behind thou shalt surely die is dying, thou shalt die. And they died that day spiritually. And eventually, over in Genesis chapter number 5, they died physically. So death comes by sin, and we see that sin there in the Garden of Eden. Look at John 1 and verse number 12. It talks about here, it says, "But as many as received him," speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Well, listen, God is spirit, right? God is spirit. Well, we had no spirit. Holy Spirit within us. Notice this, "But become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, okay, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And I've got written in the margin of my Bible, this was the Bible that I had whenever I was going to Tennessee Temple. It's my college Bible, and I got various notes in the margins here. And with regard to what it says there in verse 13, I've written here, "not of generation." In other words, it's not a fleshly birth. It's not of that. Everyone who's born the first time, with the exception of Jesus Christ, who his conception was not through Adam, his conception was through the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. When we were born, physically we were generated into our family, but we had no spiritual generation. That's the need for being regenerated, reborn, born from above, born again, which is when we talk of those two things, born again and regeneration, we're speaking of the same thing. So it's not of generation. That's which are born not of the blood. Second thing, nor of the will of the flesh. And I've got written for this, not of reformation. Okay? You can't make yourself alive by anything that you do. You say, "Well, I'm going to reform my life. I'm going to clean up my act." And we don't have the ability to do that. We just really don't. I mean, there's folks who think they do, but have no capacity to do that. And then I've got written here for nor of the will of man. It's not of confirmation. Nobody can say, "Well, you do this, and this, and boom, we'll confirm that you're in." Now, God's the one that tells. God's the one. It's not of confirmation by man, not the will of man, but of God. And I've got, that's regeneration right there. When we're born of God, not born, it's not the blood, fleshly family birth. It's not of the family or nation, not of self, not of others. It is being born of God. And as we see there, the necessity for regeneration, number two there, it is necessary because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. We've already mentioned that. But it's necessary because of the corruptness and depravity of our human nature, the nature that we were born with. Look at Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3. Jeremiah 13:23. I'm going to just quote that one to you. But it says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil." Well, it's not possible for them to change those things. And it's not possible for those that are accustomed to do evil to all of a sudden start doing good unless they have that new birth. Romans 3, verse number 10, shows us, verses 10 through 18, shows us the depravity, the corruptness of our human nature that we're born with. Verse 10, Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And he says here, their throat is an open sepulcher, a sepulcher being a grave. You think about the corruption there. We've had some corruption going on next door outside there under the church's storage building right there outside of our house. Something has crawled up under there and died. We don't know whether it's a cat, a rat, or what, but we've been dealing with it for about 2 weeks now. Thankfully, it's not under the trailer. We thank the Lord for that. But every time you walk by, you get a whiff of corruption. Okay? And the picture here is of an open sepulcher, which will be an open grave, which is full of corruption. He says, with their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's not a pretty picture, is it? I mean, when you look at all of that, we can see an inward corruption. We see an outward. We leave a path of misery. Just not a good picture that is given there. But it does show the truth of our corruptness and depravity. Look at Romans 7 and verse number 18. Romans 7, 18. Paul says here in Romans 7, 18, he says, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." The first part of that is what I want you to really focus in on. In our flesh, there's nothing good about our flesh. Romans 8, verse number 7, there in the next chapter, says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God." And of course, I'm not going to turn to Galatians 5, but Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, give the works of the flesh. And when you talk about the flesh, if you're walking according to the flesh rather than walking according to the Spirit, and that's really what Paul is dealing with in Galatians 5. He tells us to walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But he tells us what the flesh brings forth, and everything bad that you can think about is in that list. And he even covers some things maybe that's not in there by saying "and such like," the things that are like that. Those things are there are corrupt. They're sinful. They are not. Not godly, ungodly is what you would call them, ungodly. Well, he also tells us the fruit of the Spirit, and of course the fruit of the Spirit is the exact opposite of the works of the flesh. And when we have God's Spirit come in to our heart and life, that brings forth a change in our walk. Look at the Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Having trouble with my throat this morning for some reason. When I get up on Sunday mornings, I really don't. I don't know how it's going to be because I don't really talk much to anyone until folks begin filtering in. But it's one of those days whereby it looks like I'm going to be sucking on the cough drops up here. So just forgive me for that, okay? Cannot be helped. Ephesians 2 and verse number 1 talks about the nature that we had before we were born again, before the Lord regenerated us. Notice verse number 1, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Now, we were dead to God. Dead to God. There's no way that we could merit anything before God in that old condition. By nature, all men are dead to God in their natural state. Look at verse number 3. It talks about that we are children of wrath. Verse 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature," and that's what we were born with, in other words, "by nature we were the children of wrath, even as others, because we did not have a spiritual life." And then, children of disobedience. There in verse number 2, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So it's a different spirit than a spirit that can interact with the Lord himself. We see also we're cursed with Adam's sin nature, Romans 5:12 we're familiar with. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So we're cursed with Adam's sin nature. Now, we see the means of regeneration, and I want to spend a little bit of time right here. Because I think it's vital for us to understand how that regeneration takes place. There are three factors that are vital for a sinner to experience redemption, experience this matter of being born again. First of all is the Word of God. There, you're in Ephesians 2 there. Look at Ephesians 2, verse number 20. Look at Ephesians 5. Verse number 26. Flip over to Ephesians 5 and verse number 26. How does washing take place? As by the Word of God. He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. The verse that I read in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5 there a while ago. It said that not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Where's the washing take place? The Word of God. The washing of regeneration. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to bring forth that in our hearts and lives. Look at James 1. And verse number 18, and it bears this out that I just said. James 1, verse number 18. James 1, 18 says, "Of his own will," talking about our Heavenly Father, "of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Now, if you'll flip on over from James over to 1 Peter, next book over is 1 Peter, and you see 1 Peter 1 and verse number 23, it bears us out again. And it uses the words born again here, being born again. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now see, when we were born the first time, we were born with corruptible seed. Yeah? That corruption goes all the way back to Adam. But when we're born again, where's the seed at there? Well, it's the Word of God. The Word of God brings forth that regeneration in our life, and we are renewed by that. So it's the Word of God. Then we see also not only takes the Word of God, but it takes the man of God. And we find that in Romans chapter 10. Look at Romans chapter 10. And I know some might want to argue at this point, but I'm going to clear up the argument here in just a minute. Romans 10 and verse number 13. It says very clearly here, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Now, some may deny the necessity of this second factor, pointing out that people often come to Christ privately. Maybe they pick up a tract, gospel tract, or whatever, and they read it. My dad did that. He picked up a gospel tract, read it, got saved. Well, listen, just how was that tract written? How was it printed? How was it distributed in the first place? Obviously, saved human beings were involved in those things. Someone who maybe didn't have a man of God right there before them sharing the gospel of Christ, or doesn't have a saved person right there sharing the gospel of Christ with them. But it takes saved human beings to get involved in the things that whereby folks come to know the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5, and verse number 18. 2 Corinthians 5:18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So it's clear from what we see here that we are to be involved in that sharing the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God." Just like Jesus wanted folks to be reconciled to God when he was walking the face of the earth, well, now we are his mouthpiece. We are to be sharing the gospel of Christ, to be in the, take part in the ministry of reconciliation. Well, also we see that the Spirit of God, not only the Word of God, the man of God, and by man of God, I'm not just talking about necessarily a quote-unquote preacher. I know it says that in Romans 10:13-15, but you know we are all to be, if you have received the Lord, you're to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. We see the Word of God, we see the man of God, and we want to take a look here at the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is one that brings forth that regeneration in a person's soul. John 3, and look at verse number 5, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. He says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You have to be born of the Spirit. two births. When you were born the first time, you were born of water. Your mama's water broke. You came through there, but you didn't have a spiritual birth. But you get in the second time, you got to be born of the Spirit. And to back that up, verse number 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the first birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's the second birth. Okay? You see, back to back in those two verses, he's talking about a physical birth and he's talking about a spiritual birth. And you must have that spiritual birth if you are be saved. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, "But a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." You know, you got to have a spiritual life. You got to have a natural man is a man that doesn't have spiritual life, doesn't have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is what gives us the ability to understand what God has for us. Well, we see the fruits of regeneration. And of course, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You're given new life. Amen. It's a life you didn't have before. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. The fruits of regeneration. 2 Peter 1, look at verse number 3. It says, "According as His divine power," talking about God's divine power, "hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So, the Lord, when we get saved, He gives us all everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness, and He gives us, we're partakers of the divine nature, there according to verse number 4, that brings forth that newness of life within us. And then when that newness of life takes place, not too long ago we were studying 1 John, and we talked about these things. I'm not going to belabor the point on these, because we spent a good portion of time preaching these things out of the book of 1 John. And we said, if you'll remember, a born-again person does not practice sin. It's not his practice. It's not what he... he's going to sin, but he's not going to practice sin. His practice is different. When you were a lost person, you couldn't do anything but practice sin. There was no righteousness in you. You were free from righteousness, as the way that is put in Romans chapter number 6. When you were still in bondage to sin, you were free from righteousness. A born-again person loves others and knows God. And a born-again person, of course, loves a Savior. And a born-again person overcomes the world. Let's go to 1 John and just read these passages real quick, and we'll be done for today. About to run out of time here anyway. But look at 1 John 3 and verse number 9. First John 3:9, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." The tense of that word that is put there, that is translated there, commit, is talking about the practice of sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. If you're born of God, you can't stay in sin. You just can't. 1 John 5, verse number 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. And in other words, they don't practice sin. It's not that we don't commit sin, but it's that we don't practice sin. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Look at 1 John 4, 7 there. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And so when we are born again, the Lord causes us to love not only Him, but to love others. 1 John 5, 1 and 2. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that beget loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. In other words, we should have a love for the brethren. Amen. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. We have a different practice that we want to take place. And there, verse number 4, talks about our overcoming. So, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So that regeneration, born again. You know, you may not have fully understood it when it took place, but hopefully you got a little bit better understanding of what transpired there. And each of these terminologies, you know, we're still yet to look at words like justification, sanctification, and some others that we'll be taking a look at. All of these took place at the same time when we got saved. Amen. When we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, those things took place. And as I say, the more we study about the salvation, the more we come to understand where we were before we got saved, and where we are at now because of what Christ has done for us. And that's a good thing. You know, we ought to have an appreciation for those things, and it ought to be an increasing appreciation. All right, let's pray.